Good morning.
Good morning.
Having a bit of a technical issue here, just a moment. Sarah, you told me to shake it and it'd go back, right? I'm shaking. We'll just go this way today. Good morning, everybody.
Morning.
Great to be with you on this beautiful Sunday morning. A little cooler. Grateful for that always. I want to share just a few opportunities with you that we have coming up here at the church. If you see them, if you forget them, and while I mention them, they're also listed in the bulletin. This Wednesday, we'll be having a special business meeting at 7 o'clock. All of you are invited to attend that. We have a couple of items that we need to vote upon, so please be there. We are also, yeah.
6:30.
It got changed? Okay. Was that in the announcement that was sent out? Okay. Be here at 6:30. We might get started by 7. 6:30 or 7. Let's go with 6:30 then, so we're not all late. 6:30. I did not get that word, but that's all right. Then we have our Eden's Glory golf benefit is happening on this coming Saturday, the 28th. And we have a team of four that we've had the last couple of years that will be golfing. We try to raise up to at least $400 to support Eden's Glory. If you'd like to give to that, you can do so by making your check payable to First Baptist Church and then putting Eden's Glory in the memo section. Then next Sunday, we have our family picnic outside on the vine, weather permitting. There is a sign-up sheet located in back if you would like to sign up for to bring something for that. Oh, we're going to move inside? Okay, we're going to be inside. So, okay. This is what happens. Things change when I went away for a few days. That's all right. And then reminder that our Vacation Bible School is going to be held on June the 4th. And that is a one-day Vacation Bible School this year from 1 to 4. There will be a meeting right after church today for the purpose of going over all the responsibilities for that special day. Our scripture lesson this morning is taken from John's Gospel. We're continuing in that, John's Gospel, chapter 21. And I'll be reading from verses 15 through 19. If you have your Bibles with you, you can follow along, or an app on your phone, please follow with me. Jesus reinstates Peter, John chapter 21, verses 15 through 19. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. I tell you the truth. When you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, "Follow me." May God add blessing and understanding to the reading and hearing of his word. So today's scripture text, if you've been with us the past couple of weeks, we have been in the Gospel according to John, and we've been working our way through these post-resurrection appearances of Jesus to certain members of his inner circle, those disciples that were with him. And if you remember from last week, the disciples had seen Jesus on the beach. I neglected to mention this to you last week, and I want it to be clear this week. That the disciples had gone back to Galilee. So prior to when they met Jesus in the upper room, they were there in Jerusalem. But it's important to note that they had gone back to the Sea of Galilee, that which was familiar to them, back into their old habits and their old ways. And so that is where Jesus met them, on what is referred to in this scripture as the Sea of Tiberias, named after the emperor, but more commonly known as the Sea of Galilee or Lake Gennesaret. There's lots of different names for it. As I've said to you before, it really wasn't a sea, it's a freshwater lake, and it's really what it is. It's a lake, it's not a sea. But anything in the Bible is always bigger than what is typically called in the scriptures. But it's interesting, an interesting point. But what I want you to get from this is that they had gone back to Galilee. Now, there's some unfinished business that's taking place here between Peter and Jesus that needs to be taken care of. Much the same way that there was unfinished business with Thomas, who we talked about a couple of weeks ago, and Jesus, when he appeared to Thomas in the upper room and told Thomas, put your hands here, put your hands in my side, see here, and my hands where the nails were. And so this was something that Jesus had done with Thomas just a week before what we're talking about today. So if we're looking at a timeline of what's happening here, we're just a week after Easter in the scriptures in that timeline. And so the breakfast had been had with the disciples. Jesus had some bread and some fish that he had prepared. And now it says after breakfast, after these things, afterward, here we are with Jesus now calling Peter over to the side to have a personal conversation with him about something that Jesus needs to speak with him about. And it is in this moment, as we'll see as the scriptures begin to unfold, that there is a time of healing, there is a time of redemption, of restoration that takes place within Peter's life. And so when we look at the scriptures, and I've told you the story already about doubting Thomas, if Thomas is referred to as a doubter in scripture, in which we've labeled him, Peter could easily be labeled as a backslider. He was one that constantly went back to his old ways, constantly did things. He kind of marched to the beat of a different drummer. He did his own thing. And so he kind of went back to those things. I also want to remind you, not within this scripture, but elsewhere, a little bit about Peter, some background about him. I think we all know the story very well. In Matthew's gospel, it goes like this. Now, Peter was sitting around the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him. You also were with Jesus of Galilee, she said, but he denied it before them all. I don't know what you're talking about, he said. Then he went out to the gateway. There was another girl there who saw him and said to the people there, this fellow was with Jesus of Nazareth. He denied it again. With an oath this time, he said, I do not know the man. And in a little while, those standing there went up to Peter and said, surely you are one of them. Your accent gives you away. You know, when you meet somebody from the south or somebody that's from a different place, you know, they've got that accent and you can hear it. You know, they're not from where you are. Anyway, that's kind of what gave him away here. And then he began to call down curses upon himself. He realized what he was doing. He called down curses upon himself and he swore to them, I don't know the man. Three times he denied Jesus. Immediately a rooster crowed. Then Peter remembered the words that Jesus had spoke to him before the rooster has crowed. You will disown me three times. And the scripture says that he went away and he wept bitterly. This is the same Peter that we're talking about within today's scripture. This is the same Peter that is mentioned throughout all of scripture. Now, I don't know about you, but when I was a child, when my mom or dad or grandmas, grandpas would use my full name when I knew that I was in some serious trouble. And this is kind of what happens here. Jesus approaches Peter and he says to him, Simon, son of John, or Simon, son of Jonah. Okay? The full name is given. You knew when your parent called your full name that you were in hot water. And I think there's a bit of that that could be read into this. Simon, son of Jonah. Simon, son of John. Jesus does not come, though, with that kind of an attitude. He comes with a caring heart. We know from John 3:17 that Jesus did not come into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. But Jesus is not concerned here with the impulsive responses of Peter. You know that also when your parents look at you directly in your eye and they know when you're not telling the truth. You could lie the best lie you could lie, and mom or dad would always know. Why? Because they know your person. They know your character. They know your heart. This is what's happening here. Jesus is reading the heart of Peter, and he knows that the answer that he is giving to them here is a superficial answer. It's an impulsive answer. This is typical for Peter. And so he gives that kind of an answer. Jesus asked him, "Do you love me more than these?" Jesus wants to get at the heart of the matter. He wants to get deep within the personhood of Peter. He wants to know that without a shadow of a doubt, unselfishly, unconditionally, that he cares more about fishing and all of its trappings. He wants to know that he loves Jesus and that he loves his people. He asked the question, "Do you love me more than these?" More than he loves these men, these fellow fishermen that are there, the six others? Do you love me more than they love me? What the point is, I think, is that Jesus wants to be clear that Peter needs to love him more than the things of this world, more than the things that make him happy, more than the things that are familiar to him. He wants to know that Peter loves him. And so Peter's immediate response in the affirmative, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you," in verse 15. Doesn't make any references to anything else that's going on. Doesn't ask about what do you mean by that. But these words that Peter utters do not seem to be enough for Jesus. They do not seem to be exactly what he is looking for here from Peter. These words aren't enough. Why? Because there's a mission. There's something more to them that he's looking for out of Peter. Converts are to be cared for. Converts are to be cared for. There are lambs that need to be fed. And so this is what Jesus is looking for out of Peter. There's something deeper. There's something more to the mission. And you notice that in Scripture, twice more, he asked him, "Do you love me?" Those first two times, if you will notice, in verses 15 and 16, "Do you truly love me? Do you really love me?" He wants to make sure, "Do you really love me?" Truly love. It's different than the last one. "Do you truly love me?" The first two times, refers to a love of the entire personality. Do you love me with your whole being? Do you love me beyond anything else, anyone else? Are you willing to commit yourself to me unselfishly, self-sacrificing, self-emptying type of love? This is the type of love that Scripture refers to as an agape love. Then the next time he just says, "Do you love me?" It refers more to a spontaneous or affectional type of love. This is the type of love that we refer to as philos, or a brotherly love. That's why Philadelphia is the city of brotherly love, right? Because philos, a brotherly love. This is the type of love that he speaks about in the latter one. Either way, what the point of the question is Jesus is trying to figure out, does Peter really love me? That's the bottom line. And that would be the bottom line for us too. So each time there is an answer, and finally Peter responds with these things, "Lord, you know all things." So he's saying to the Lord, "You already know." It's like when you go to your parents and you finally give in, you're like, "All right, you got me. You know, I did it. You always knew I did it. And this is what it is." He says, "Lord, you know all things." He doesn't focus upon himself. He focuses on the knowledge and the understanding that the Lord brings to the conversation. Lord, you already know, is what he's saying here. Lord, you already know. You know these things. Yes, Jesus knew Peter's heart. What we're looking at here is an act of repentance that's about to take place. You know, earlier the scripture that I read from Matthew's gospel, it says that when Peter recognized or realized that he, you know, had done what Jesus said he was going to do, he went away and he wept bitterly. There was some remorse there. There was a change that, oh man, I didn't want to do that, but I did it anyway. That's the kind of thinking he had here. But Jesus is not looking on a scale here, like of 1 to 10. Do you love me a 1? Do you love me a 5? Do you love me an 8 or a 10? He's not looking at that kind of a scale here. But whether Peter loves him deeply and personally and faithfully willing to obey him to do his commands. What I think here is another scripture that we could reference, and what Jesus is looking at here from Peter is he wants to see fruit. Okay? He wants to see fruit. And this is what is lacking in so many Christians today, is the fruit. Oh, we got all kinds of leaves, you know, and trees are nice with leaves and they provide shade and there's something important about them and they give oxygen, etc. But the fruit, that's what we want from these trees, right? That's what we're looking for. And Jesus reminds us in his gospel, in this gospel according to John, that he is the vine and we are the branches. And if we remain in me and I in you, Jesus says, you will bear much fruit, but apart from me, you can do nothing. Jesus is looking for Peter to be connected to that vine, to be part of Jesus. And because he is with Jesus, he's going to produce fruit. That's what Jesus is looking for here. And so Jesus needed the assurance that Peter was going to take care of the flock. Are you going to feed my lambs? Are you going to take care of my sheep? This is one of my favorite scripture passages because it comes to a point of which I like so much about being a pastor. This is pastoral care right here is what he's asking about. Are you going to take care of people? Are you going to feed the young ones? Are you going to tend to the little lambs? Are you going to discipline the stubborn ones? This is the job of a pastor too. And then are you going to tenderly watch over the older flock? Are you going to take care of my people? That's what Jesus is looking for here. He wants to know this. This is a pastoral passage of scripture here. Remember, too, this same Peter that we're talking about today elsewhere in Scripture. Not too long ago, we talked about this on Maundy Thursday, when Jesus was washing the disciples' feet. And Peter said to him, I don't want any part of this. And Jesus said, unless I can wash your feet, you have no part of me. So there again is an example of Jesus wanting us to be connected to him, to be part of him, to be part of who he is. Then Peter came up and said to him, Lord, how often... Oh, this is the other one I wanted to give you, is that Peter came up to Jesus and he said, how many times should I forgive my brother? This is the same Peter. In Matthew's gospel, chapter 18, verses 21 through 22. And he says to him, you should forgive as many times. How many times should I give? 7 times? And Jesus said to him, no, you should forgive 70 times 7. That's 490 times. Interestingly that they had that conversation. Because right here, even though it's not indicated as such by the word forgiveness, that's what's happening in the scripture. There's a forgiveness that's taking place between Peter and Jesus. And so they had that conversation as well. Now, Jesus predicts in our scripture today the way in which Peter is going to die. The way in which the scripture says he is going to glorify God. That's a nice way of saying death, isn't it? The way in which I'm going to glorify God. I like that. That sounds a lot better than I croaked or I died. Right? The way in which I'm going to glorify God. And remember again, Peter's quick answer was, I'll lay down my life for you, Lord. But then this is the same Peter that said, I don't know the man. I'll swear an oath to it. I don't know who he is. Never seen him before. That's the same guy that said, I'm willing to go lay down my life for him. And Jesus reminds Peter here, that's exactly what's going to happen. This is how it's going to happen. You're going to lay down your life. In verses 18 and 19, it says that he's going to stretch out his hands, which everybody knew in the early church at that time meant what? Death by crucifixion. And that's how Peter would die. He claimed that he would lay down his life for Jesus. And later on, that's exactly what he did. I want you to also catch this, and it's if you're reading it just casually, you might miss it, even though it's printed in red in my Bible. Follow me. He said these things to Peter, all these three questions, reminded him of the way that he was going to die, and then he ended it the same way that he began calling his disciples, saying, follow me. Much the same way that he did when they were gathered on that Sea of Galilee the very first time, when he called them out and they left everything and they did what? They followed him. He's asking him again here, follow me. Now the scripture kind of takes a turn. And I didn't read this before, but I want to read it to you now. Verses 20 through 25. Peter turned and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. This was the one who had leaned back against Jesus at the supper and had said, Lord, who is going to betray you? When Peter saw him, he asked, Lord, what about him? Jesus answered, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me. You must follow me. Because of this, the rumor spread among the brothers that this disciple would not die. But Jesus did not say that he would not die. He only said, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? Interesting little tidbit here in the scripture for us this morning. Much the way chapter 20 ended with, all these things could be written in the books, in the world there wouldn't be libraries enough to contain everything that he did. Chapter 21 kind of comes to a similar end. Chapter 21, verse 25 says, And there are also many other things that Jesus did, which if they were written one by one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books in which they were written. Chapter 20 ends the same way when it says, and truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and believing that you may have life in his name. That's the key. These things are written down because Jesus wants us to have life. Life in his name. But what is interesting to me, and I know I'm going back and forth here a little bit, this part that takes place right after Jesus reinstates Peter, right after things seem to be on a new level with them, Peter goes right back to his old ways and says, yeah, but what about this guy? What's going to happen to him? And Jesus restates again, it's no concern of yours what happens to him. Your job is to follow me. In other words, John is already doing what he is supposed to be doing. He's following Jesus. Don't you worry your pretty little head about what's going on with John. You need to focus on your own self and what you're doing and not be worried about what everybody else is doing. That's what he's saying here. John the disciple was doing all these things already. John also feels the need to write in this passage, these things which I'm telling you, they're true. And he's the one that witnessed them, and he's the one that wrote them down. He says, I'm the guy that did it. I'm the one that wrote it down. We know that whenever Jesus is active, that there's someone that's writing it down. There's someone that's reflecting on it. There's someone that's journaling about it. There's someone who's being touched by the Holy Spirit. The Bible reminds us in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1, that we're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. And so all these people are part of this to affirm what John is saying here is the truth. It takes the body of Christ to affirm those things which are true and of God. But John, or but Peter, he is concerned about John, you know. What about John? What about John? What about my brothers here? It seems to be a legit question, you know. What's going to happen to them? You know, you just told me what's going to happen to me. How are these guys going to croak? You know, I'm going to be on a cross. What's going to happen to these dudes? You know, and here he is. Doesn't matter. And so the rumor spread that John, the apostle that Jesus loved, was never going to die. John had the foresight to write it down. That's not what he said. He didn't say that at all. He said, because of this, a rumor spread among the brothers that this disciple would not die, but Jesus did not say that he would not die. He only said, if I wanted him to remain, what is that to you? How much are we like Peter? We know it. You already knew it when I was talking about it earlier. We always like to think about other people. What are they doing over there? I can't believe, did you hear? Oh my word, I would never do such a thing. Can you believe that? That's kind of what's happening here. And so John had the foresight to say, no. That's not what I'm talking about. If I choose for him to be around, that's I could do it. But no, that's not what I'm going to do. He's referring here to his second coming. He's saying, you know, that I'm going to come back. And so there was this thinking that, well, then he's going to just be around till Jesus comes back. That's not what happened. That's not what he meant. People didn't hear it correctly. Remember the telephone game? You know, I'm going to tell you a little story, and then you're going to call and tell the next person or turn. You know, have you ever done this in a group exercise where you're sitting in a circle with six or eight people, and they start a story, and then it passes along, and by the end, it's all changed around, you know? That's kind of, again, what's happening here. Times have not changed very much, have they? It's a great passage of Scripture. I love these passages of Scripture about Jesus and his appearances to his disciples. There's so much in them. They're so rich. If you read them and just say, yeah, Jesus appeared to his disciples, but there's more. What is that more for us today? What is that more for you today? There's this. That no matter what you have done, no matter what you think you have done that has offended Jesus, you could still be restored. You can still be reconciled. You can still be forgiven. I love this passage where Jesus says, while you were still sinners, I'm dying for you. Yeah. Peter denied Jesus, not once, not twice, but three times. And he very clearly even took an oath, which actually meant something in biblical times. There was a covenant, an oath. He gave his word, I do not know this guy. Even after that, Jesus was able to come back, have a personal conversation like he did with Thomas. Now with Peter, have that conversation with him and say there's an opportunity here. And remind him of why he called him in the first place. Follow me. I will make you fishers of people. That's why he called him. But then he's not only talking about evangelism, but he's talking about loving and caring. Yes. Caring for the people. Not just bringing people to him, but once they're there, loving them, appreciating them, caring for them, being there for them in their time of need. One must love Jesus above all else. Another thing I think we can learn is that Jesus is not looking for just an impulsive move here. He's not looking for us, oh yeah, Lord, yeah, I'm right there with you. Like Peter did, even when he said, I'm willing to die for you. He wasn't willing to die for him at that point. He denied him. He wasn't willing to do what he said he was going to do, so Jesus isn't looking at just a quick answer. Oh yeah, I'm there. And then when it comes time, oh yeah, I forgot about that. Jesus wants to know that we love him more than things. Jesus wants to know that we love him even when things are uncomfortable for us. He wants to know that. And then, Jesus desires for us to follow him, to leave it all behind and follow him. And then he commissions him. Not only does he forgive him, not only does he restore him, but he commissions him to go out. And remember this passage of Scripture. This is the same Peter now that we've been talking about all along, and these are the words of the same Jesus that we all know and love that was said to Peter. "And I tell you that you are Peter," which means rock, "and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it." Same Peter, same Jesus. No matter what you've done, no matter how many times you've doubted, no matter how many times you've disappointed Jesus, no how many ever times you feel like you've turned away from him and backslidden, Jesus is always there to have that conversation with you once again in that familiar place that you've gone back to. What is that Galilee for you? What is that fishing moment for you? Jesus stands ready to meet you right there and to welcome you back into the fold, remind you of that call to follow him and leave it all for him. It's a beautiful story of Jesus reinstating Peter here in this passage for us today. This concludes the series of messages on John's Gospel in chapter 21. And again, it ends in verse 25, much the way chapter 20 ended, verse 21 ends here. There's much more. There's much more that could be said. We don't have everything here, but we have what we need. And that's all we truly need, is that personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this day. We thank you for Peter. And we know that we are a lot like him. We want to be there for you. We want to do good. We want to follow you. We want to make disciples. We want to do all of these things for you, Lord, but we've failed. We've fallen short of your glory. But we know, according to your word, that you love us. But you need to remind us that we are to take care of one another, that we need to take care of our relationship with you, and that we need to take care of our relationships with each other. Oh God, thank you for this reminder through the life of Peter today. And the fact that he ended up continuing to minister in your name some many years later, and it was him that upon this rock, his name Peter, that this church was built. And so we thank you, God, for his testimony and even for the downfalls that he had, that you can use imperfect people like us to do amazing things, extraordinary things, when we are connected to that vine of Jesus. We pray all these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.